The word of God given to us today is Acts 19:23-27, page 221 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the word. About that time there arose a great disturbance about the way. A silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in a lot of business for the craftsmen there. He called them together along with the workers in related trades and said, "You know, my friends, that we receive a good income from this business. And you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that gods made by human hands are no gods at all. There is danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty. Amen." These days, it's very difficult to even cough because other people are looking. The terrible thing is, if you try not to cough, it gets worse. Even right now, some people are coughing because of a cold or allergies or the air conditioning. As long as you take preventive measures and cover your mouth with a handkerchief when you cough, you do not need to be very sorry. And please feel free to wear a mask during the worship. We also have masks at the front information desk. Two weeks ago, a text message circulated among some of our congregation regarding mayors. The message said one of our pastors recently visited a member of our flock at the hospital and was now exhibiting symptoms. And if the pastor had been infected, all our pastors who share the same office were possible carriers. So it would be best not to come to church on Sunday. And early last week, a member of the church showed me a Kakao Talk message. Many of you have seen it already, but the content is as follows. An elderly man came to the Daegu Fatima Hospital with a high fever, and things got chaotic because he was from Chungdong, which sounds exactly like Korean for Middle East. He was quarantined, and the whole hospital was thrown into chaos. But it turned out that he was from the Daegu Suseong District, Chungdong area, and the intern in charge got a big dressing down. He was asked if he had ever been to Chungdong, the Middle East, and he said he'd been living in Chungdong for a long time. Daegu City, Suseong District, Chungdong area. The intro to this message starts with a true story from Daegu. But no case of MERS has yet occurred. But also, after this message circulated, we also found a message similar to this one from Busan area, from the Busan Chungdong district. So it is clear that someone made this story up about the Daegu Fatima Hospital. The text messages about one of our pastors showing symptoms of MERS circulated among our congregation, and the story of the elderly man from Daegu Suseong-gu Chungdong spread on social media as if it were true. All of these facts show how much people are terrified of MERS. 2 weeks ago, on June 2nd, Tuesday, Pastor Dongyu Lee, who is in charge of our 9th church district, visited a member of our congregation at the Hanyang University Hospital, which has nothing to do with MERS. Right afterwards, he caught a light cold. It was a sensitive time for everyone due to MERS, so in order not to burden anyone in the congregation, Pastor Lee did not openly participate in Sunday service. And his light cold has already disappeared completely. Our church is transparent and discloses every bit of its financial matters down to the last cent. If someone among our pastors exhibits symptoms similar to MERS, we will certainly take the needed steps, and we will alert the congregation via formal mail or text message immediately. If in the future you receive any messages or emails like the one I mentioned about MERS symptoms among the pastors, please ignore them. Or if you would like to make sure, please check with the church in person. According to statistics from the National Evidence-Based Healthcare Collaborating Agency, the average number of people who died of seasonal flu during the last 4 years from 2005 to 2008 was 2,639. Every day, 6 to 7 people die of the flu. We used to think that only poor people caught tuberculosis, but these days TB strikes regardless of income level. Daesuk Ha of the Seoul National University Internal Medicine class wrote an op-ed column in the June 8th Medical Times in which he said the following about TB. In 2013, 36,089 people were diagnosed, and 2,466 people died that year. TB is one of the most prominent diseases communicated by air, and every day, 100 people are newly infected by TB, and 6 to 7 die. Carriers of this communicable disease, TB, live across the nation and move about, but most people are unaware of this fact. According to Statistics Korea reports, deaths in 2013 from pneumonia amounted to 10,800. Every day, an average of 30 people are dying of pneumonia. Every day, 6 to 7 people die of the flu, and another 6 to 7 die of tuberculosis. And 30 die of pneumonia. But we do not stop our daily tasks because pneumonia or TB or the flu. The Ministry of Land, Infrastructure, and Transport reports 4,762 people died in traffic accidents. This means every day for the last year, 13 people died in traffic accidents. The number of injuries are several times higher. But among us, no one decides not to take a car or not to drive because of fear of cars. On May 11th, the first case of MERS in Korea appeared. A 67-year-old man who had returned from Bahrain in the Middle East first showed symptoms of MERS. More than a month afterwards, 14 people have died, and a commonality appears to be that all were elderly with ongoing serious disease. Because each life is more valuable than the world, 14 deaths in a month can never be small. But when we think of the deaths from flu and tuberculosis, pneumonia and traffic accidents, there's no reason for us to be frozen in terror from MERS. Preventing MERS and becoming a slave to terror are two very different things. Because this was the first MERS case in Korea, the patient and the hospital and authorities reacted complacently, and events became worse. But right now, the medical community and authorities are taking the first mistakes to heart and doing their best. And in that process, we have all been able to verify an important fact about MERS. So far, MERS has been communicated inside medical facilities between people who had contact with a patient, and not through the air outside hospitals. Even if airborne infection occurred, it is limited to medical facilities. If people follow preventive rules, such as washing their hands and covering their mouths while coughing, MERS is not an object of fear. So now our job is to get away from the fear of MERS and return to our daily lives. We have a logical problem if people who go through their daily lives without fear of 6 to 7 people dying of the flu, 6 to 7 people dying of TB, 30 people dying of pneumonia, and 13 people dying of traffic accidents, curtailing their lives because MERS killed 14 people. Christians, especially, are people who live differently from the people of the world. If Christians also join others in unnamed terror and fear, what difference would there be between Christians and people of the world? Christians should be leaders in getting rid of fear and terror in the world. Whatever happens with the MERS epidemic, if the Christians of Korea take preventive measures and dedicate themselves even more to their daily lives, our people will also be able to make an exodus from the unnamed fear of MERS through the church of this land. Ten years ago, I heard a story from a kindergarten teacher I met in Toronto, Canada. When the children there are asked to draw nature, most of their pictures do not have mountains. Toronto has no mountains. This is not just Toronto. The province of Ontario, of which Toronto is the capital, from east to west and north to south, spans 1,000 kilometers each and is 9 times the size of South Korea. But in the wide expanse of Ontario province, there are no mountains that we can call mountains. So the children of Toronto who have never seen mountains since they were born naturally do not draw mountains. The reason people respect artists is their originality and individuality. But no matter how strongly individual and original an artist, he cannot draw a portrait without a model. He cannot draw a worried face, unexcited expression, eyes wet with sadness, a smile of happiness, eyes filled with terror. These are things an artist cannot draw just from imagination. In this sense, the originality or individuality of an artist is simply a result of what he can understand and see. So the originality and individuality of an artist is a special talent of expression, not the power to create something from nothing. The religious statues that exist in the world today, no matter their shape or size or material, are all created by the hands of people. The idol has eyes because the people who make idols have eyes. As they have eyes that can see the world, they hope and believe that the idols that they make will look upon them. But no matter how artistically valuable a statue, unlike the hope of the makers, the eyes and ears of the idol made from metal or stone can never hear or see the world. No matter how great the originality or individuality of the artist, humans do not have the power of creation to make a piece of metal or stone see or hear the world. If humans who are simple creations can create a living God, which has the power to create and watch over the lives and deaths of men, that would not make any sense at all. The following is from Psalms 94, verses 9 to 10. Does he who fashioned the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? Does he who disciplines nations not punish? Does he who teaches mankind lack knowledge? When God first made the world was in chaos and darkness. There was nothing that God could use as a model. But even so, God made humans from clay, and he gave them eyes that can see and ears that could hear. This was because God could see and hear. And the humans he made from clay could also see through the eyes God gave them and hear through their ears. This is because God has the power of creation and the originality and individuality to make humans great masterpieces of art without a model. And he has the power of creation to give life to clay eyes and ears so that they can see and hear. This is the fundamental difference between God and the maker of statues and the humans God created and the artist's statue. Ephesus was a city of idols, where one of the mysteries of the ancient world, called the Temple of Artemis, held absolute power. The goddess Artemis refers to the goddess Artemis in Greek mythology. Artemis, who in Greek myth was the twin sister of the god of the sun, Apollon, and the goddess of the moon and the goddess of the hunting, was also called Diana in Roman mythology. And on the peninsula of Asia Minor, she became the symbol of Asian plenty and fertility. Since the Temple of Artemis, which worshipped the goddess, was the greatest of its time, Ephesus had, in particular, a large amount of silversmiths who created models of the statue of Artemis and the temple out of silver for sale. The many silversmiths all employed craftsmen and salesmen, so the total number was likely very large. Let us see verse 26. And you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that gods made by human hands are no gods at all. In Ephesus, Paul convinced and proclaimed to not only the citizens of Ephesus, but also the people spread across all of Asia. He said gods made by human hands are no gods at all. No matter how great the statue of Artemis happened to be, and no matter how its 24 breasts symbolized plenty and fertility, the man-made eyes of the statue could not even see the faces of the people who sacrificed to it. The statue could not hear the entreaties of the people who wept and prayed in front of it. It had 24 breasts, but not one of those breasts could give a drop of milk to a newborn child. So the statue of Artemis, made by human hands, can never be a real god. The Greek text contains a word that is missing in our Korean Bible translation. After it says, Paul convinced many people, there is a word, methistimi, which means to move or transport. Not only did Paul convince and proclaim to people that gods made by human hands are no gods at all, he made them actually move on those words. He made them move their center from believing in the statue of Artemis, which was merely a piece of metal or stone, to believing in God, the living, holy Trinity. If Paul's proclamation had moved only one or two people's minds, nothing would have happened to him. The many Jews and Greeks who lived in Ephesus in Asia turned 180 degrees to God and even moved the magicians. So they burned the magic books that were worth so many silver coins. To the people who made a living from the Temple of Artemis, this was something that could never be allowed. As we saw last time, a silversmith called Demetrius called all his fellow craftsmen together. Let us see verse 27. There is danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited. And the goddess herself, who who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty. In the latter part, Demetrius was rousing his fellow craftsmen, saying that through Paul, who proclaimed gods made by human hands are no gods at all, the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and she would be robbed of her divine majesty. This part makes it look as if Demetrius is really concerned for the goddess Artemis. But as the first part shows, this is just an excuse, and Demetrius really has a different goal. His real concern is the danger that our trade will lose its good name through Paul. Verse 25 shows the details. He called them together along with the workers in related trades and said, "You know, my friends, that we receive a good income from this business. The danger that our trade will lose its good name that Demetrius talked about refers to the fact that the good income they enjoyed through sales of models of the statue of Artemis in the temple was in danger. This was Demetrius's real concern. So even before he referred to the dignity and majesty of Artemis, he talked about the danger their trade was facing, the trade that guaranteed a good income. Verse 28, when they heard this, they were furious and began shouting, 'Great is Artemis of the Ephesians.' The craftsmen who were easily roused by Demetrius began shouting the name of Artemis with passion that matched their anger at Paul. Why were they angry? And why did they shout the name of Artemis? It was because through Demetrius' rousing, they decided that their good income was in danger. Their passionate shouting of Artemis's name was really a shout of determination that they would defend their good income. To them, the goddess Artemis was only a means of guaranteeing their good income. The Greek word euphoria means wealth and prosperity and is translated into good income. Demetrius and the craftsmen he roused said they believed in Artemis. But they really were idolaters who followed the idols' wealth and prosperity. They tried to harm Paul, who told the truth for the sake of their idols. For the sake of good income, wealth, and prosperity, which could not take care of them after the grave, for the sake of that, they ignored the Lord who could give them eternal life. So as the temple of Artemis they used for their good income, wealth and prosperity, collapsed and disappeared, so they who worshiped the idols' good income, wealth, and prosperity also crumbled and disappeared 2,000 years ago in Ephesus. The moment their lives ended, the idols called good income, wealth, and prosperity, which were their life goals, did not have eyes to see their way. nor did these idols have ears to hear their final entreaties. Nor did they have the embrace of life to hug these people for all eternity. Today in our human lives, money has the most important place, and good income, wealth, and prosperity have become our life goals. Even Christians who believe in the Lord use the Lord's glory and purpose on the outside, but internally and in reality, they strive for their goals of good income, wealth, and prosperity. But good income, wealth, and prosperity are all things we can see. To worship what can be seen is only idolatry. What can be seen through our eyes may be great and beautiful and original, but like the statue of Artemis, it does not have the eyes and ears to see and hear humans, and it does not have the power of creation to break apart our crooked lives and renew them in new life. So the more we follow things we can see, great and plentiful things that we have set up as idols, the human mind, bereft of eyes and ears, becomes more and more arrogant, and finally self-destructs before God. The Lord referred to good income, or the wealth and plenty that made up our self-destructive life goals, and which even the Jews worshipped as idols. He referred to this good income and wealth and plenty as the wide gate. Book of Matthew 7:13-14 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." The Lord also explained to us how humans who, in their arrogance, pursue the visible wide gate will eventually self-destruct. Luke chapter 13:28 says, "There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out." After a lifetime of traveling on a self-destructive path of good income, wealth, and prosperity, how terrible it must have been for those who are thrown out of God's invisible country in heaven on the last day. So terrible that they weep and cry and even gnash their teeth. The only person who can lead us on the path to eternal life of sight and hearing is not of the world, but only the Holy Trinity God, who is eternal and whom we cannot see with our limited human eyes. He gave us eyes to see so that we can see, and watches over us as we walk toward his narrow gate to the invisible country of God. He gave us ears to hear, and he can hear even the thoughts that we do not let out of our mouths. He has not only originality and individuality, but the power of creation. And so he has saved us eternally from the net of sin and death. And he has shaped us anew into new creations. He is inside us in spirit and embraces us to him in his word. People who believe in the Holy Trinity God do not make the mistake of idolizing good income, wealth, and prosperity, the things we can see. This is because we know well that the wide gate that we can see is the shortcut to arrogance and self-destruction. People who believe in the Holy Trinity God, who sees and hears and gives eternal life, always go for the narrow gate of heaven that people cannot see, and are always content and satisfied. They lead content and satisfied lives inside their Lord. We always have two doors open in front of us. One door is the wide gate that we can see and that we follow in order to idolize good income, wealth, and prosperity. It is the door that leads to arrogance and self-destruction. Another door is the door of satisfaction and contentment. It is the narrow gate that leads to invisible God's country. We have the freedom to choose which door we pursue through life. But those who are wise are the ones who at the end, on the final day, do not weep or gnash their teeth in darkness. Let us pray. Paul believed and followed what he could not see. So he knew and understood that the great temple of Artemis and the statue that towered over men were no more than castles of sand. The silversmiths of Ephesus used the goddess Artemis to pursue their goals of good income, wealth, and prosperity. And they lost for all eternity the chance of the invisible, eternal country of God that Paul proclaimed to them. Thank you for allowing us to understand our own foolishness through their lives. On the outside, we proclaim God's glory and purpose, but in reality, we have only followed the wide gate of good income, wealth, and prosperity. Lord, forgive us. Do not allow us to forget that the wide gate we can see only leads to self-destruction and arrogance. Unlike the idols, Lord, you watch over us and hear us and are inside us, and embrace us to you, the Creator. Let us always live with this. With your power, let us strive for the narrow gate and live lives of satisfaction and contentment inside you, with you, and because of you. On that final day, let not one of us cry and weep and gnash our teeth in despair and darkness. For those who strive for the end of mares this week, give them wisdom and knowledge and power and courage. And let all our people break free from the terror and anxiety of mares and dedicate ourselves even more to our allotted daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.